just remarkable piece. That's beauty. That's easy to see. Consolation, I think, is in the story more than anything else. And again, it's...
What's the consolation of martyrdom?
Because yes, the consolation is the myth. Now here's one of the primal myths, I have to say. I don't believe it either historically or theologically, for that matter. But as a sheer story, consolation is this, that we live in this world of woe. We do things that we don't understand. We're driven to murder and mayhem and aggression. We don't understand any of it. We seek consolation for not being what we hoped we could be. We seek consolation for all the tragedies that unfold in anyone's lifetime, the death of family members, the death of children. And to think that we can construct a myth whereby an omnipotent God could incarnate himself in a human body and die to offer us redemption from these sins. As I say, I don't believe it for a moment, but I can't think of a better embodiment of our need for consolation, that we would construct a myth that an omnipotent God would allow a part of himself to be so frail,
suffering,
and human that
dying,
he would die,
bleeding,
suffer, bleeding, nailed to a cross in order that we may be saved. I think that's a stunning story. So that's consolation. No, I don't accept that part of it in any literal sense. I don't have that view of human beings. But again, I would assert that that I know no better myth in human history than the notion that some force perfectly powerful should make a part of himself so weak and so suffering in order to save this creature that exists here on this earth, having evolved a brain uniquely capable of consciousness and therefore able to perceive all the difficulties and tragedies and joys of this planet.